A key employment number hits its best mark since 2008.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, what do we know about the economic philosophy of GOP frontrunner Newt Gingrich? But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are up at the open this morning. The Dow up 111 points, about 0.9% at 11,934. The NASDAQ up 0.7% right now. S&P 500 up 0.9%. The government said this morning that the number of people applying for unemployment benefits dropped last week to 366,000. That is the lowest level since May of 2008. For more, let's bring in Ellen Zentner. She's senior U.S. economist at Nomura Securities, and she's with us live now from New York. Hi, Ellen.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning. So is this number all about seasonal factors? I know there's a lot of people being hired for short-term holiday jobs, or is this really good news?
Well, I'm going to venture to say that it's really good news. You know, retailers hire more strongly around the holiday season every year, and the Department of Labor, the government outfit that officially puts out these initial jobless claims data, they account for that in these numbers. So they adjust to account for the fact that retailers typically hire strongly around this time of year. So, you know, we're taking this decline in initial jobless claims in the latest week as a good sign that job growth is accelerating.
Okay, a good sign. Now, what about this sign coming from Washington? We're less than 2 days away now from another possible government shutdown if Congress can't pass this short-term spending bill. What are your economic concerns as you look at what's happening in Washington?
Well, the concerns for the U.S. economy is that all of this policy uncertainty coming out of Washington certainly does not help household confidence. It doesn't help business confidence. It really impacted the U.S. economy over the summer months when we were at that time looking at a possible government shutdown. Here we are going through these same issues again, and I fear that they're not going to lessen much in 2012 surrounding the national elections. And so, you know, it just underscores the fact that people are very concerned about problems going on in Europe and how they might affect us here in the U.S., but we have problems of our own here, and it's stemming from our own government and the indecision and failure to work together.
Ellen Zentner, senior U.S. economist at Nomura Securities, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, U.K. officials are warning of a new threat to national security in the U.K. It's the Eurozone debt crisis. That warning comes from the U.K.'s top military official, General David Richards. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports from London.
General Richards said his main worry is the ability of Britain's European allies to maintain their armed forces. He fears that austerity and slow economic growth in the Eurozone may further dent defence budgets there. And he's nervous about the UK's own defence spending. If the euro collapses, Britain's economy could shrink by up to 8%. Peter Felstead is editor of Jane's Defence Weekly.
One of the greatest defences this country can have is to have a strong economy. And from that comes everything else, the ability to procure decent defensive capabilities, for example.
In his lecture, General Richards also expressed concern about defence cuts in the US, and that America intends to switch its main military focus away from Europe to the Pacific and Southeast Asia. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
Republican candidates will meet tonight for a debate in Iowa, and according to the polls, the front runner right now is former House Speaker Newt Gingrich. So we're going to talk Newtonomics now with historian Steve Gillen. He's the author of The Pact, Bill Clinton, Newt Gingrich, and the Rivalry That Defined a Generation. Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, what would be the biggest economic change, do you think, under President Gingrich, if it comes to that, given what we know about him?
I think a lot of it depends on whether or not he has to deal with a Democratic Congress. Gingrich has shown when he was Speaker, especially in the final phase of his speakership, that he is willing to reach across the aisle and form bipartisan relationships. There are two Newt Gingriches. Gingrich has always made a distinction between politics and governance. For him, politics are the inflammatory things you have to say in order to gain power. Once he's in power, he is more compromising and more willing to propose bipartisan solutions. When I did my research on the relationship between he and Clinton, I was amazed that the policy people in the Clinton White House all told me that behind closed doors, where there are no cameras there and a lot of other people to play to, that Gingrich was always trying to make a deal. They found Gingrich easy to deal with.
Well, what do we know about where he stands on the big economic issues of the day?
Gingrich doesn't really have a well-thought-out economic philosophy. All the issues are all framed based on his sense of what works politically. So he doesn't sit around with economists and say, okay, these are the issues that are going to be the best for America. He sits around and says, what issues can I pick and choose from that are going to undermine Democrats and improve my position?
Well, there's one economic idea that's gotten a lot of attention that he has said that we should change the child labor laws in this country.
Yeah. That's typical Gingrich. You know, Gingrich comes out with wacky ideas. It won't be the last crazy idea from Newt Gingrich that we hear on the campaign trail. It's not something I think we'd have to worry about if he became president.
Steve Gillen, author of The Pact, Bill Clinton, Newt Gingrich, and the Rivalry That Defined a Generation, thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
And we'll be talking about the other candidates in the coming weeks. Finally, there are some new local TV ads on the air in Davenport, Iowa, that actor Will Ferrell wanted to do for free. They're for Old Milwaukee Beer.
When I'm not too busy being a big-time Hollywood phony, I like to come out here to Davenport, sit on my favorite log, and crack open a ice-cold Old Milwaukee. Something I do. Well, truth be told, I've never been to Davenport. This is my first time, but it's something I want to do, you know?
It remains unclear why Ferrell chose Davenport, since the beer is from Wisconsin. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
Bloomingdale's is all about high-end, high style, and high fashion, right?
Every time we're in New York, we come to Bloomingdale's for the frozen yogurt.
Wait, what?
Every time we're in New York, we come to Bloomingdale's for the frozen yogurt.
I'm Kai Rizdahl, department store restaurants. They're back. That's next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.